a nuance. Why was that?
I don't know what kind of starting is that. What is so? Jesus. The last time we had an episode was on the 6th of July. Well, no, hold on. That was a podcast meeting what we scheduled. The last taping was in June.
Are you sure about that?
I'm literally looking at our documented episodes.
Okay.
This was when we talked about mental health and Naomi Osaka. That was when
we took a mental health break. It was summer.
Did we though?
No, not really. Anyway. I was so stressed. But
hello, Inya.
This hello, is Mom. What episode number is this? We can check afterwards. I don't know.
I thought you were in charge of this, you know. You are in charge.
It keeps it more, you know. So
no, it's, you know what? It's episode 42, so, yeah.
Okay.
Episode 42. All right, so we're back.
How have you been, Mom? What have you been up to?
Stop behaving as if you're going to live right round the world.
I can't keep it a bit interesting, Jesus.
I don't know. I feel like...
How are you feeling?
We're in September now, and the last one was in June. So that's July, August. It's just 2 months. Why are we behaving like it's been years?
Not we, you. That's how I was saying we're on a summer break, right?
I've been okay. I feel like this summer was nice. We went to what's the name of the beach? Hooksall Beach in North Sea.
I don't know. I remember the name.
And for somebody who did we talk about with beaches? When Ayo was here, we talked about the beaches in just claiming the beaches in Nigeria better than Jamaica, which is not even up for discussion. No, but I was pleasantly surprised to go to the North Sea. This is the second time we've been there.
Yeah, but the first time was kind of like.
And also, we didn't go to that particular spot. No, but it's like a real beach. I was very shocked.
That's so disrespectful. No, anywhere with a coast is classified as a beach.
No,
oh my God.
Calm down. You know exactly. I was just very taken aback.
You're very privileged, Mom.
Gonna dodge from that privilege. Montego Bay, Jamaica, is the best beach that I've personally experienced. And if you want to call that's where I was born. So if you want to call that, and you as well.
Yeah.
So if you want to call that privileged, then there you are. Okay. Here we are, privileged. Okay. But anyway, the point is, it was a nice, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was nice. I was
pleasantly surprised. I mean.
There are a lot of kids and families.
Yeah, but it never felt overwhelming because I feel like because of Corona, people are. By the way, we using the word Corona. I see on a lot of videos, and so people always refer to it as something else.
We haven't reached that level of mass yet, so we need to be censoring ourselves. We semi-cursing.
You know, I don't like when you say stuff like that, right?
Well,
we don't
know
how many people are
listening. Manifesting.
Exactly. Thanks. As I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
I was pleasantly surprised. I think it was really a nice, I have to say though, I don't understand why more people don't live there. Like, I don't understand why Germans would live down here.
Oh my God, we were there for a week and you're already, oh yeah, wow. We were there for a week and you were like over the apartment. Like, we didn't even reach your like, over the apartment already.
What you mean?
The thing is, what was nice about the apartment was that it was.
I'm not talking about the apartment. I'm talking about the beach.
Yeah, but you can't live on the beach. You have to live in the houses. You
no, but
the
I think where we were staying was very much. It was like 15-20 minutes drive. So, but actually, where the coast is, there are many places
you're from
there.
People who like to cause tsunami and stuff like that. You'd want to live next to the beach.
Once again, I was born.
Yeah, but we didn't
actually
worry.
In a
okay,
bay,
but we're, anyway,
Montego Bay.
We're drifting off anyway.
Yeah, because nice. You're interrupting me. I want to say that I feel very, very like people who don't know Germany. Most people don't think Germany have like that sort of, you know, that level of that lifestyle is just not what is associated with Germany. But it's really nice. I thought it was, and the food was really good. I think we had fresh fish. That was very
fries with
it
a
was
ton
nice.
Of ketchup.
I think, yeah, I would recommend that if you are from the Caribbean and live in Germany, and want to see the ocean, or want to see some or version not, of a
see,
beach.
Or see the ocean disappear, because that's the cool thing.
It's still kind of weird, the disappearing part.
Yeah,
the tide going in and out.
It's an experience, but it's also nice to like walk. Maybe we should include like one of the snippets.
What snippets?
Oh, when you were on the thing and I was saving, and you just hear, you're like, oh my God. Because, you know, at some points the mud is like deeper than others, right. So you really like sink.
So you can really walk out. But it was good. So I feel that it was a surprise thing for me, because I was like, okay, we have to go somewhere because we've been stuck in the house for all of 2020. So I was not really, my expectations for going there was kind of low.
But
I was pleasantly, it was really very great. So yeah, that's all. And I've been off from work. I started back working now. So that's
great. Oh my God, the pleasure in your face. You're not looking forward to working.
I am though. What have you been doing? Why we don't have no episodes the two last months? Because you've been busy.
I've been busy. Anyway, I think we're currently on a energy cleansing after, you know, the 2 months of break. Starting to like clear up the energies around us, you know.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't feel like I have no bad energy or nothing to clear up. Speak for yourself. Right. What perfect. Energy? What you mean in your room? Like you have stuff you need to like clear out? I don't know.
So, at the time we are recording this, is the 26th of September. Today is the German elections, which we will be voting, right, Mom? We quickly decide, you know.
No, you so, quickly decided. I have been very much decided.
I mean, somebody being, you know, shifted about, I'm not taking part in this. I'm not voting. And then like, all right, I change my mind. I am voting. It's like, okay, drama queen.
No, like, but I think I was hesitant, and I am still hesitant, but at the same time, no, not just not to vote, but to just participate in the whole electoral thing, not just here in Germany, but also when I was in Jamaica, in as much as I have an opinion about the politics, obviously. But I think 2020 really did a job on making me become very super aware about just, does it matter? Like, does it really matter?
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm voting, and this is where I want us to get into, why you voting the way you're voting and the way I am voting, is that I do believe the world needs to, we need governments that are more social leaning. If not straight up socialist, social leaning. So there, I've declared myself.
Or maybe we should, like, I think they're going to know, probably, I'm assuming, in a couple of days, who won once they count all the votes, that we do, like, something near a short one afterwards.
Just no,
like,
I don't want to do that.
Why not? Because you're afraid if you're, because that's the real reason why you're with the party you're voting, is just because, you know, you want to vote a party that's going to win, because no, this is like a sports true. Event.
That is not true. And you know, I feel like organized sports is a scam and should not even be a thing. So there is that. Anyway. But I'm not voting for them because I feel like they're going to win. What the hell? What do you think of me? I am voting for them because I do believe that a party that is more social leaning is what is required. And I think, you know, I hope that Germany is going to like play a bigger role in Europe, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, having a stronger voice and not just, you know, having this, I feel, and you know, this is true. Germany generally just be like, okay, we're neutral, not even neutral, but like they don't really push for any one thing.
Yeah.
They usually allow, you know, other world leaders to take the stage. And I feel like, so yeah, I think that the SPD is the party that will do justice to, you know, where Germany says it wants to go. I hope that. Like, I'm really hoping that they will kind of, like, make it so that Germany has a bigger voice in Europe. Why are you not voting for them?
Because they're one of the big parties. And you still should watch that video. It's from one German YouTuber who goes through, like, the scandals and all the stuff that both the CDU and SPD are part of. And, like, a lot of other parties criticize both CDU and SPD for, quote-unquote, being either a Christian.
What's the name of the video? What's his name, the YouTube?
Rizzo, I think is his name. And like the social, the SPD not being as social as they put themselves out there to be, you know. Generally, I feel like I have an issue with like the big parties, but it's what we talked about even when they had elections in America. Even though they have like in America, you have like the Democrats or the Republicans, and there are two parties. And you think like other countries who have multiple parties, they have more of a variety. But if you look in the past of Germany, it's always been a steady back and forth between like SPD and then CDU. And then only difference is like here in Germany, the bigger parties never get enough votes to rule fully on their own, so they also have to collaborate with other parties. So that's going to be interesting, because
you still didn't answer the question: who are you voting for and why?
I'm actually voting for the FDP this year. I wasn't really, I'm not gonna lie, really sure. I did the whole Valomat thing, what they offer here, where you answer the questions and then they give you recommendations of which party fits more to the answers of the question, which is also something I think we should talk about, how rigged that is, because they determine and define the questions that can be answered. So even if there's a certain subject that is important to you, if it's not one of the questions, you can't use it as a criteria to determine which party you want to vote for. Yeah, but I don't understand
why you should even have to do a Valomat. If you're because following, you know how long politics,
those, the programs are.
It's exactly people like you who end up voting for these little fringe parties who don't really.
FDP's are legit parties. Actually,
I'm not saying it's not legit, but it's not going to win.
FDP, if I remember correctly, is that SPD and FDP, they used to be one thing, and then it, like FDP became like a fragment of the SPD because like they weren't happy with where the main goal was going.
And again, this is why I refer to them as a fringe party. You know what though? I don't want to make it seem as if I'm so against them, because I really am not. But I just wanted to say what I was saying earlier about
why Olaf having a vibe. That's the reason why you're voting. Can we just say it? We're watching the debates with like, was it the Green Party, the SPD, the CDU, and then you're just like, Olaf seems like he eats. Yeah, he has a vibe. I'm voting for Olaf. It's just like you have no idea which party, and all of a sudden now you set out your way to find more reasons to be like, yes, I'm for the SPD because Olaf is what you say, he's boring.
And that's the thing, I like boring politicians. I'm not interested in politicians who have, you know, he actually did an interview in where he said he's not a clown. He's not in circus. So he does not feel the need to perform. And I like that. Mm-hmm. I also, to be very clear, I don't see none of these politicians as necessarily being, you know, the thing. It's a situation that we have to deal with here on planet Earth, that we have government, so we have to participate so that, for example, the IFD is steady growing. They're steady growing, so if you want to not have them completely take over, you have to participate. So that's why I'm participating. And I'm participating based on the fact that I'm looking at it from the big picture. The big picture for me is that
you see more, you have more clarity than the rest of us, you know, imbeciles.
I am not saying that, Ina.
Continue, tell us about your big picture view, Mom. I'm just wanting to know.
I'm done. I have nothing else to say.
Grand statements. I see the bigger picture. You all just don't get it.
All I am trying to say is that I feel like, you see where the world is running right now. We need parties that, if not are socialist leaning. And I feel like when you look across the world and see how life is going, we need parties that are more concerned with the everyday things that matter to people. Mm-hmm. So for example, for me with the SPD, their thing is they want to increase the minimum wage in Germany. They also very much want to continue to put in policies to secure retirement, right? They also are very much about the environment, and that's one of the things that I realize why the Green Party probably not going to come out with much this time around, because all the parties seem to have sort of circumvent the Green Party's main thing, which is the environment.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that I think I like about Scholz is the fact that he has the experience of Merkel. Like, I feel like he, because he was the finance minister in the coalition government with her, So he has a certain amount of experience in managing the government. He's also, he just come across as somebody who's not, he's not running to try to impress nobody. He's just doing his job. And I think maybe that's why maybe that's why he's winning in the polls, because I feel like Germans generally like people, politicians who are like that. You understand? The other one, what's his name? Laschet from CDU. Like, he just behaved, like this morning I was watching on DW, they were saying how, you know, basically the one of the analysts just referred to him as a buffoon. And I was like, wow, that's not that harsh. Yeah, he kind of harsh. But I got his point. He said, like, you know, this whole thing had happened when he was laughing, when the president was making the statement about the flooding.
Yeah.
That was not a good look. Yeah. And also this morning, because today is voting and he's voted already. You saw the thing that happened he put he folded the paper wrong, so you could actually see that he voted for himself. And actually, on a German law, that is illegal, and the vote should have been null and void, because you're not supposed to take a picture. No, he didn't take a picture. It's like he folded it incorrectly. So when he was putting it in the box, you could see what he voted for. You're supposed to fold it so that you can't see anything. And so the news reporters were saying that normally when you do that at the voting station, your vote becomes null and void.
Yeah.
You understand? But obviously, because he was there and they take the picture of him actually doing it, and he already dropped the thing in the box. So it's like, what are you gonna do? But I think it just, like, it's the culmination. It's like the ending of his campaign. He continued to do some buffoon thing. Because, like, you, as somebody who is running, would know not to do something like that, right?
I guess maybe he feels so secure. That's why he just doesn't, you know, notice his...
Honestly, I feel like he... Like, I'm just not a fan. But you, what do you think?
I'm not really a fan of them, really.
So, but who are you voting for and why?
Well, as I said, I'm more voting... I think... I saw a statement, somebody put it up like on Instagram, to some extent, of like, voting isn't a marriage, it's more like public transportation. You just take it where you need to go, and like, you take the thing that's, you know, will bring you the closest to your the most closest to, you know, wherever you need to go, and like, that's it. And I feel like not voting is definitely not the solution, because like, they also put up like, statistically, you know, if you have certain such and such amount of people who are able to vote, and then like, the more people that vote, like, for example, in terms of the AfD, like, the less value or the less amount of percentage their vote will count. Because the people who are going to vote for AfD, they're going to vote for AfD. But it's different if 50 people vote not for the AfD and 10 people vote for the AfD, then, like, 70 people vote for something else, and then there's still the 10
people. Let's just say that to people who are listening who might not know, the AfD is kind of like the
party. Alternative for Deutschland, which is, like, alternative for Germany, and more right-leaning.
Yes. And more, you know, they're not very welcoming to people who are to foreigners. Quote, well,
that's the thing. I think they're very highly something there towards it. They're like, yeah, if you go through the legal process,
and they're very aligned. Well, people see the media seem to align them with, you know, the Nazi rhetoric and so on. But my concern, why I'm voting, is that. And which I think is different in Germany than, let's say, in Jamaica or in the US. It's like here, you, by not voting, because we've seen throughout the election since, I think, 2015 or 2014, when the AfD was first formed, when they had the whole immigration crisis, because that was why the party became so strong or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they represented super conservative Germans, specifically those in East Germany who felt... Angela Merkel should not have said willkommen Kultur and so all of that. So that was a thing that sort of, like, you know, birthed the AfD.
Yeah.
And what the polls are showing is that they've steadily been growing since then.
Yeah.
So it's not a situation where they've been, you know, that incident, that thing happened with the immigration, and then people sort of got over it. No, they've been steadily growing, and I find it to be sort of sinister.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, as a Black Jamaican woman living here, I would never want to see that party becomes like, you know.
But that's a good thing. At least none of the parties, like, none of the existing parties, are interested in collaborating or working with them. So the only reason they would actually be in power is if either they get like, what is it? I think you need 50% of the vote at least. And or they collaborate with another party, which is...
Right, you know. so that's what I was meaning. That so if you're in Germany and you don't vote, I think it's more significant because by you not voting, you are basically allowing a party that would not represent, I think, most of our views, or not just, you know, our family, but most of Germany don't believe in what the AfD stands for. Whereas, like, for example, in Jamaica, there are two parties. So you, and the difference is more familial. Like, people are more associated with PNP because of, you know, they've always been associated with PNP and vice versa, and also with the JLP. The differences are very subtle. Mm-hmm. You understand? And you can still exist in a Jamaican society under the PNP as well as under the JLP without feeling that you're going to be marginalized because of who you are, right? Yeah. I think it's also the same situation in the US with the Republicans and the Democrats. Yeah, there are some things that are different, but for the most part, you know, they're not trying to, like, tell people you can't live there because of how you look. And I think that's why the German election is so important, because I think if the AfD continues to grow as it is growing, which is very steady, they're not doing no major jumps, you know, but they're not declining. And I think that's what a lot of the analysts got wrong when they were first formed, that somehow, you know, oh, it was just like, you know, it was an event in time and that it would be ending, but it's not an event. It's an actual thing that's continuing.
Yeah, I think the issue with the whole thing with the AfD, which is why I think a lot of people in the past who, you know, voted for them, is either they wanted to, like, take a stance to show to the other politicians, like, you need to start being more active in other topics. In
that specific topic.
No, but that's the thing, not just that specific topic. I think there are a lot of things throughout, like, the AfD, they kind of talk about a different side of the whole, whatever topic, if it's immigration, if it's in, like, the economy, if it has to do with corona also, and stuff like that.
They want to leave the EU.
Yeah, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It was some stuff more radical than others, but it's just like, I think in a world you're generally always going to have, you know, people having opposite opinion than the others, which is to a certain extent necessary, because, like, you don't want to be caught, like, in a bubble. Some things are, you know, a bit more extreme, like when it comes to leaving the EU and stuff like that. But yeah, even if you look at the whole corona thing, I think they're one of the lesser parties that are, like, actively, like, saying stuff against it, like, we're against the whole thing and something
against what,
like, the
regulations,
the regulations, but also with the whole vaccinations and the whole
believe in forced vaccinations,
that for sure not, and also the whole data protection thing, which is also, when you look at that, like, the way how Germany used to go hell-bent again, like, data protection, and now, like, you basically have to give out your data just by leaving the house, just by, you know, if you have to do a test and all of that.
So basically what you're saying, that in a lot of ways the AfD is, you know, representing some of the core things that Germany used to stand for.
Yeah, in a very, very traditional kind of ways, to a certain extent.
Which includes not liking foreigners.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that's why I feel like, you know, it's a very dangerous thing when they try and do this, like, okay, this opposing vote, especially now this voting is, like, for the next 4 years, what our government is going to be like. And by them, you know, voting them, it's like, you know, when you have, like, plants or stuff that have positive effects, but if you take too much of it, it can poison you. And I think that's what they're not seeing, that, like, yeah, it might be all well and good at the beginning, but there's no end to what's going to happen afterwards. Because just because you, like, there's maybe one thing that you value a lot, like, let's say if it's, like, corona and, like, the immigration things that they need to be checked more or whatever, but then you have this, like, backdoor of other things that they are, if they want to kind of, like, implement and get rid of and stuff like that.
I don't want to be the AfD. So tell us who you're voting for and why.
Why you keep coming back? This is my third.
Why are you voting for the FDP? What is their policy? What is the thing that makes you think this is the one? Because didn't you vote green one time?
No, I don't remember doing that. I think I voted left.
You voted green the first time you voted. I know this.
What did you write in your diary? Are you taking note of the people I'm voting? No, what are you?
Because I was very impressed by the fact that you were like, Mommy, you don't see the environment is going to shit in or whatever. So like I'm saying, so that's what I'm saying. So only the fact that you voted for the green, why are you voting for the FDP?
I know. Well, one hand when I did like the Valomat and I was looking at a lot of the stuff, I even found it interesting with when it comes to the minimum wage, like their reasoning behind it was that they're not necessarily for increasing the minimum wage, but just generally creating more job opportunities. Because I didn't even know that basically what they said is like, if you raise the minimum wage, what happens for a lot of people who do like mini jobs and stuff like that, their hours get reduced because then the companies can't afford, because they have to pay them more, which then again takes back away money from the people. So I was like, okay, I didn't know that, like, that was an intricate part.
Why are you voting for that party?
Why are you just, like, interrogating me? I'm sure there's a German law here that's going against it. Like, you're trying to something here.
What's it called? What did Jonathan say? What? Wahlgeheimnis.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, secrecy. Why are you voting for them?
Oh my God, like, just stop. Just trying to, like, also feel in terms of, you know, the way how they also see the whole, like, with students and stuff, they want to make more opportunities. That's what John thinks of that, with the whole.
Because Jonathan also voted for them.
Yeah. Okay. We're just here telling people, you know, people are very quiet and hush-hush about who they sound here.
And we just here spilling the beans.
No, but also one of the reasons why I did vote them is because of the whole corona situation. Like, I personally find the approach, like, how Denmark and, like, more of the Scandinavian countries are dealing with it is good. Because, like, at this point, like, all right, you have the option out there now. With the whole vaccines, if people want to do it, they can do it. But like, to start to reducing the regulations, but also trying to open up back life more and getting like the economy boost like back into place. But also the whole them not wanting to like pressure people into getting the vaccine or not getting the vaccine or whatever, just like letting people make their own decision, because at the end of the day it is like an individual thing.
But is the party the one that is saying that though, Enya, or is it the deputy of the party who made one statement that you and everybody else who I know,
you don't want to call out the rest of them who are voting FDP, right?
Was it a man or a woman? I don't even know. And basically the statement was that, you know, like you said, Denmark, which is that the government has done its responsibility, which is to provide a vaccine and provide information.
Yep.
People should now go and vote, go and do what they think is responsible and appropriate for their lives. So yeah. I don't disagree with that. But I also think that, I mean, well, anyway, we don't have to quarrel. Let's talk about corona, though, because I think that's the main reason why you voted for the FDP. Let's get to the real thing. Like,
you know, the way how you... Yes, so like, what are you getting at?
Tell the people why you are anti-vaxxer, right?
You know, you are the worst ever. Cause drama. First of all, just to clarify, I am not a anti-vaxxer, right? I don't feel that just because somebody decides not to get vaccinated or is hesitant, vaccine hesitant. Like, that doesn't mean that you're in some kind of like, oh my God, conspiracy, alofo or something. They're like, I was somebody who nearly blew off my whole trip to Thailand because I didn't get my rabies shot. Because like, what if an animal attacks me though? I cannot go. So yeah, personally, I don't feel comfortable right now on the point. I'm always open to, you know, change my opinion, whatever. I feel like once a bit more time has passed and I feel more comfortable about getting the vaccine, it's good. I'm not somebody who, even before COVID, likes to be around people. I used to disinfect my hand and wash my hands before. It's really shocking the fact that people were like, a lot of people were like, oh my God, it's so disgusting. We used to like touch things and touch our faces. I'm like, I didn't do that. Like, you all were doing that. Or the next thing is like, oh my God, I can't believe I used to go into like with street clothes onto my bed. I'm like, what is wrong with you all?
Animals.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I feel like, you know, I don't feel like in terms of like germs and stuff like that, yeah, I might be leaning towards like hypochondriac and sometimes, some days. But I feel like I genuinely try to live a healthy life with, you know, keeping my immune system boosted. I'm not saying that's the next thing. I'm not saying corona definitely does exist. I'm not saying anything else, right? I just feel like you know, it should be everybody's decision to decide to, you know, get a, especially if it's like an injection. It'd be different if it was like, I think that's what I'm looking more into, like, when are they going to start looking into more medication, like medication?
You know, I was seeing something on that the other day. I think Auntie Melanie sent me something on that about some medications that are being now approved as what you can take if you are if you get COVID.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. My thing is like,
yes, why did you vote the SPD? Because besides them, you know, being what? But you know what?
It's so interesting to me, you know, like when you look at all the debates, and I was watching the debate, the last one they had, all of them, COVID never came up.
That's the next thing.
It never came up. And I was like, wow, yeah, really? We literally keep, they keep telling us we're in a pandemic, and yet we have a blue, a major election, and that did not come up on the list of things to discuss.
Yeah, it's almost like they're afraid. If you want to go into conspiracy, so something like nobody wants to say it's nothing wrong, or I don't know, it's weird.
So my thing is this, right? So I think that we have to, I feel like I don't like when people tell me what to do, you understand? Yeah. And especially things to do with my health. I'm not a child. I don't think that we should treat adults like children. But at the same time, I do think that people who, for example, will walk around and talk about, you know, they're not wearing no mask and COVID is doesn't exist. Like, that don't make no sense to me either. You understand? Yeah. But I think I personally would put myself as, you know, in the category of somebody who is hesitant and on the way toward getting it. Yes. And I don't think that is very unfortunate when you listen to people having the conversation in the public space, because first of all, it's such a private thing. Like when you say that why are we asking each other if you're vaccinated?
That's the thing.
If you're living a responsible life and you are like, you know, somebody who is hygiene conscious and so on, like I make the assumption that people are that way because I know I'm that way. And also, I feel like the reason there are so many people who are hesitant, I'm not talking about the anti-vaxxers, because there's a whole other group of people who just like, yeah, everything is a conspiracy. Although I do sometimes think that there are some things that are, you know, the conspiracy.
Weird.
Yeah. But I think that to be hesitant is like the most natural thing. Mm. I think one of the things that concerns me is that we are all not the same. This is such an obvious statement, but people really forget that when they're discussing that. There are people who are at various physiological stages of life.
Yeah.
So, for example, you have people who are, you know, first of all, you have young children who, in my view, I mean, they have the strongest immune system. Why are we running to go give them vaccine right away? We're talking about pregnant women. We're talking about, you know, people with compromised immune system. You know, if you feel like taking the vaccine because it needs to be done, do what you have to do. Women who are in menopause, on their way to menopause, there are so many things that's happening in your body, and things will affect that. I think we should just leave people alone and respect people's ability to make the best choice for them.
Yeah.
You understand? And because I think, you know, when you have somebody is grappling with something and then to expose themselves to a vaccine that is still, there are trials. Like right now, it's only BioNTech, Pfizer that has been like fully approved.
But also only FDA approved by America.
So it's like, it's really strange to me. And I don't like that. Like when you see in the public space so many people who are like, who have platforms, you know, jumping to make opinions one way or the other, it's like quietly and confidently take the vaccine
or
quietly and confidently don't take the vaccine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I get it, you know, maybe when I'm speaking like this, people are like, okay, yeah, but that's in a utopia world where people are behaving in a rational way all the time, and you have some people out there, what the woman they call them, from the
COVID yacht, like COVID,
yeah, like, because it makes no sense for me to say like, oh, you know, it don't exist and you can, I don't, like when it's just like, I don't want to wear it. I don't like to wear the mask necessarily, but I know I wear it because like it just makes good sense. If you're in a space where you know that people are going to be up in your face, why would you want to expose yourself and also others? Because you could give them something too, you know? I just, like I said, I feel like we need to, everybody just need to quiet down. The place too loud. The world is too loud with the discussion. I think everybody understands that it is serious. So everybody needs to do what makes good sense for them. Right now, especially in Germany, I can't speak for any other country, the possibility is there for you to go and become vaccinated.
Yeah.
Do that if you feel like that's the best thing to do. And then, you know, follow the COVID protocols them and, yeah, go about your lives. But, yeah, it's...
I know, it's a weird situation, especially I was talking to somebody and I said it's like, it's become the new, you know, and something when you talk, small talk, like when you ask somebody how's the weather, it's like, oh, you're vaccinated. And it's like, it's almost like you have to wonder if you're going to be judged by the other person. If you, whoever your answer is according, well, more than like if you say, no, you're not vaccinated. So I was like, but why? And then like, you know, it's like, don't you care about like society and you don't want to hear help others? And it's just, I really dislike the fact that we've reached a point where we were taught in school to be... make your own opinion on things, and it's okay if you have like other opinions, you know.
But is it
just allow others to, you know, just like I don't know.
No, but stick what you're saying right now, Mina, because see, that's the argument that people are making. The pushback on that argument is, this is not a situation where you can be individual, that it's a collective, and the more of us who get vaccinated, it means that the levels and the variants will be reduced. And so in a way, you not being vaccinated makes it impossible for that to happen. More people, I mean, if everybody,
if you can still get COVID if you get vaccinated.
Yes, though. But the point though is that that's the argument. And this is me being a devil's advocate, right? Like, so the argument is if you get vaccinated and you still get contract the virus, your ability to manage it is significantly better. And as well, it breaks the virus basically so that the variants don't appear. And so my thing is, when I hear people talking like that's the argument. My question always is, so, all right then, but you don't know my circumstance, right? So like, if I live in a space where I'm not getting into contact with a lot of people, out exactly, I am able to work, go to school, or do whatever it is I'm doing with limited contact, and I have some hesitancy, and I think the hesitancy is grounded in some reason, because we've spoken about this on other episodes about the spiritual abuse that has happened in the world, people to people and government to people. People don't trust, and it's hard for you to just be shouting at somebody to tell them to have trust. If their trust has broken down, you have to allow that trust to build up back.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, I don't know if we should even be talking about this. Like, because, you know, it's so weird. It's such a weird time right now, and people don't even realize how it's.
But that's the thing, like, how many movies and series and books and discussions and so on are stuff like that, like, about, like, thought control in that sense that, like, once you start to even check yourself, like, even the way how we're talking about it, like, of course you're going to talk about it, you know, more freely with people who you generally trust. And because I have friends who are both vaccinated or who are not vaccinated, but I still feel comfortable enough to have the discussion with them or just talk about it normally. Whereas like, I think if you go out in the world and you meet like other colleagues or other people like on the street, it's almost like people are trying to like tell you what to do and just trying to make you feel like shitty about whatever decision is that you're making. I feel like you don't see, I see the vaccine, like I get what they're saying with, okay, with, you know, I think you need to do what's best for yourself and your surroundings. Like, for example, if you live with people who are, you know, compromised in some kind of way, and you feel like you want to do your due diligence by getting vaccinated, then do that. If you're somebody who's like, all right, I personally don't want to get vaccinated for myself, but I do want to keep my, you know, my surroundings and those people who are compromised safe, I'll get tested regularly, or, you know, whatever it is I need to do, keep my distance from people, wear my mask, you know, follow the regulations, then it's easy.
But like, you know what though, I feel like we're in a space right now where what is the future gonna look like, right? So there's two options available to us. There's going to be the future where you see an ad that says, if you got vaccinated between 2020 and today, right, please, if you're interested in becoming a part of a lawsuit, like, yeah, you know, and or the other side of it is going to be the future where the people who were dragging their feet to get vaccinated were the ones who were like truly the assholes, yeah, you know. And it's like, you know, we at the beginning of 2020 we did an episode talking about the age of Aquarius, and I feel like that's what's happening right now, that the madness, the psychosis, that is the mass psychosis that is happening right now, is what you referred to a while ago about people feeling the entitled to just come into your space and question your health. Like, yeah, there was a time when that was like, what are you doing? No. But no, it's like, it's a free-for-all.
Yeah.
And it makes it so that the people who are just being like, okay, but hold on though, I just want to just like...
chill a bit.
Think about this a bit. It's like, no, you don't have... And it is... That's part of why I'm a big fan of the quiet, you know? And to just like keep my... Because you lose your ability to really process things if everything is so loud and like everybody is...
fast paced.
Yes, everybody has to do this and, you know, you're... And again, just as a very big disclaimer, if your life requires you to do it, then fine. If your life makes it so that, you know, like you say, if you were living with somebody who is ill and, you know...
You want to do that for them.
You do what you have to do. Yeah. But I just feel like it's weird. It's getting weird.
Yeah, of course it's weird, because like...
It's getting really, really weird.
A couple of months ago, they were trying to push a law that basically your employer can ask you about your health status in regards to that, like if you're vaccinated or not. And I think now, I don't know if they passed the law or not, but basically if you get COVID and you weren't vaccinated, you're not going to get paid sick leave. So basically you're going to be on sick leave, but you're not going to get paid. And that's going to be on you
because you're not vaccinated. Because like, consider that if somebody got, for example, I don't know, chicken pox because they were not somehow vaccinated, and you would still get compensation, because it's like, okay, the person is sick. Yeah. Why are we becoming so draconian with this particular thing?
The point. Or like in France.
Oh, but then maybe chicken pox is not as dangerous as COVID.
But at least the thing is, if you get like the chicken pox vaccine, you'll never get chicken pox ever again. That's
but
the point.
No, is that though?
Yes, that's rubella.
I don't think we know enough to be talking about this.
We're not scientists. Let's just, you not know, putting that out there to be very specific. In regards to
anyway, the point is that it's getting weird. It's super weird, and I don't know how long is this? We said we're not necessarily gonna talk about no America people, but like this whole thing with Nicki Minaj, where she come out and say her cousin, friend, sister, uncle was, you know, bald. I feel like why she doing this is really weird as well. Like, why does she feel like she needs to speak on it? And I am not saying that she's right or wrong. My question is, why do we need to
need that opposite voice? I think that's what it's most about. Like, think about it now. You don't really hear a lot of mainstream, as you say yourself, not a lot of mainstream stars, celebrities, or whatever.
She actually said that too. That,
and that's
why
I think, like, because not everybody's being honest, it's like, you know how we believe in balanced energy? If you don't let the energy out somewhere, somebody just go like peek out and let it out.
Yeah, but make we just put things in context. Nicki Minaj is in a particular situation right now.
How so?
You don't know about our whole situation with our husband, who is basically has to register as a pedophile anytime he move, because he raped a girl when he was 16 and he went to jail for it, and they moved from wherever they were and live in Los Angeles, and he never registered, and he was driving. You don't know the whole story. No. Why do I know this, Anya?
Because you're way more in pop culture than me, mom. Look at you being young and hip, right?
Whatever. So the point is, like, her situation with her husband is like, so he was I don't know if he wasn't arrested, because he had some tickets, mm-hmm. some speeding tickets or whatever, and because of that the police obviously has to pay them, and then through that they realized that, okay, so hold on, he is supposed to register as he has to register as a sex offender whenever he moves, right? And having moved to LA, he didn't do that,
yeah,
right? So because of that, that whole thing came back up, which is this incident when he was 16, he raped the girl and he went to jail,
yeah,
right? So Nicki Minaj, in a fear of wisdom, think they find the need to call the girl, tell the girl to like help them out. Because if the girl were to say, say, you know, she never, the thing was all a lie or whatever, then the whole thing would go away. And so that every time they move, he wouldn't have to register. So I'm like, and this is, in this the young lady did an interview, when was it? I think 2 or 3 days ago. Yeah. So there is a discussion that is happening, you know, like that says that the reason Nicki Minaj came out and was so, you know, balls deep with the whole corona thing is to deflect from that story.
Smart, if it really was that.
How is it smart, Dominia? All around it's awful. Like,
distraction. Like, look over there.
Right. So it's like, so that's what I'm saying, just like with the discussion about corona, it's like everybody's using it as some sort of marketing ploy. And it's just, it's exhausting.
It really is.
And I'm not saying, I don't know what happened to our sister cousin friend Balls. Like, it could have been true that he took the vaccine. And because people have reactions to vaccine. That's not an unusual thing. You saw the comments,
so people were like, sir, that's an STD.
Oh my God. Well, so what are we saying? Like, my thing is, like, I ultimately, I know that I will be getting the vaccine. You know, I mean, we've not gone on any kind of international travel. And if there are requirements for that, then I'm just going to have to do that. But right now,
we're taking our time.
Yes. And also because, like, I mean, I don't feel like, I don't come into contact with people that much, if at all, other than us. And, yeah. I think...
We all get regularly tested anyway.
Exactly. And people should really just not entrench themselves. This is one of the conversations we had, me, you, and the whole of us. Like, I really am not okay with, like, entrenching myself in any one of the posts of, yes, I'm going to take a vaccine, or no, I'm not taking the vaccine. I'm like, okay, so right now it is how it is. I hope to get it closer to next year or closer to the end of this year, you know. But isn't that privilege in itself? There are so many people in other world, so many countries. What would I like to have the vaccine? They've just forced. Oh. No, people have to get the vaccine for work. Like, people have to actually get the vaccine in order to have a livelihood. Yeah, and we here can have the you know, quote-unquote, you know, oh, Len, I'm going to wait. But again, it comes down to your personal circumstance, and there's nothing you can do about that. Yeah, like, if your personal circumstance is what it is, you have to make the best decision accordingly.
That's just like how it is. Like, there's nothing else to do about it.
Say.
Well.
But anyway, I just want to say, though, that I think... I'm hoping that you know, when we discussed the Age of Aquarius, I remember reading up, and they said that our generation is a generation that will have to grapple with a lot of the parts of humanity that other generations could have just like either gloss over or ignore, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to deal with this situation right now that is like, it's metastasizing like a cancer. It is already a cancer because, you know, it's a pandemic. It's
everywhere, yeah.
But like, I think with everything else that's going on, the level of mental unwellness that, you know, we all have to like deal with going through this whole time. I just want to say that, I just want to repeat, we were born for it. We're built for it. And, you know, as difficult as it is, we're gonna make it to the other side. Like, that's really how I feel, that we are going to make it to the other side, vaccinated and you know, fully and it's so weird because this is one thing, yeah, this corona thing. You know, something else is coming in the next 5 years or
you're the one who literally told me I shouldn't be having that mantra, you know, the other day when I had my breakdown every now and then. It was like, there's always something. It's like, stop telling yourself that. You should be more positive. Like, will you calm down things on yourself? I look at you doing the exact same thing I was doing like a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, so first of all,
anyway,
I think it's important to point out that when these things happen, when you have your your moments,
my anxiety,
we all have our
call
moments.
It for what it is, mom. Right? You don't respect moments. Me and my anxiety when I have my little anxiety or panic attacks here, right? You
Jesus,
just look at me and you're just like,
don't say that because you
say
look,
what?
Don't say that I don't. First of all, when
anyway,
you say you have anxiety,
we'll see how.
When you say you have anxiety attack and you use words like anxiety attack and panic attacks, it's a real thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we
it's
can't make
a
light
thing a thing.
We can't make light of it.
I'm not making light of it. Are you making light of it, mom? Yes, one of mom's trigger words is anxiety. So it's everybody anxiety.
Because that's the truth, though, Inya. We all have anxiety.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
So right. So what you want?
So what are you anxious about, mom?
I'm anxious about nothing because
wow.
I realize I have no, because I know that I don't have no full on control over nothing. I do
True.
What I can and everything else I left to the side.
Well, I hope to reach your level of awakening
it's
and, you
not
know,
awakening,
bigger
though.
Picture seeing
no,
and stuff.
It's because the reality of it is that I think when people say that they have anxiety and, they, you know, I think if you don't have anxiety during this time, something
yeah,
would be wrong with you.
Yeah, for sure.
Like you're not a human being. You must be a robot. So it's like, I don't want to say that to make to minimize people who really have crippling anxiety to the extent that they can't go out
yeah,
and
that's
they
that's
can't,
true.
They have to like lock down. I think that's what I mean when I say you, because I don't think that that's where
you
are.
You can have like anxiety episodes though, like, you know, moments.
But I don't think that is where you are.
Anyway,
and
I
don't
I just
think
wanna
we
just
should
point...
make, no, let me finish my statement, please. I don't think we should make light of these.
Are you saying that I'm making light of?
No, because you know what has happened though, Inya? People have been joking around with like mental health words, you know.
Well, that's
people
you,
are like, oh my God, I'm
you.
Triggered. Do you know what being triggered really means for somebody who is truly depressed
sure.
or clinical? You understand?
Yeah, no, yeah.
So I'm just like, I get what you're saying. Yes, you have your moments, and we all do. And I've
Besides
never,
you, of course.
I've never made light of your moments.
Besides you, of course, because you literally said like a couple of sentences ago that you don't get anxiety because you don't, you don't have control over everything, so you just let it go to the side. So I guess, you know, one day I hope to elevate to your level, share your secrets one day whenever you feel comfortable.
You know,
you call
me, you know,
on
it
yourself.
Makes no sense. And you know, it's so funny, you are the one, you know, who's like, mommy, you see how your generation don't take this seriously?
Yeah,
and this is me taking
you
it seriously. And look at you. Look,
no, because it's just
that.
Like, you just like, I literally asked you, okay, so what are you anxious about? You're like, I'm not anxious about nothing.
Like,
no, okay. Wait. All right then, must be nice.
I know that sounds contradicting, but what I'm saying is
you
like,
literally say people who don't have anxiety in these times are robots. I was like, okay, well then I guess you're what
okay, maybe that sounded like I'm being conflicting.
Yeah. You see, wait, that's what we're about. This is just about the system, the ecosystem, right? Checking each other, right?
Anya, what I'm trying to say is this. Okay. I work at night. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but I have. And you know that, yeah, you live with me. You know,
that's
I get
why
anxiety
I'm pointing
over
out
too
you.
Much mosquitoes being in the damn place because it's summer, right? But I don't like that we make light of serious. Because there are people who have it really debilitating. That's
yes,
my point.
Yes, I know.
So, all right.
All right. Well, we'll see how the voting's going.
I think we're going to edit
no,
the whole of that.
Maybe the world will not end today or tomorrow, what? Depending on the voting goes.
I don't think German elections go determine ending of nothing. But what would be that would be a shock if like the FD win.
After they already they have a lot of calculations and statistics that the East is going to be more,
anyway, Inya, so this is our first episode since 2 months. Let us commit to making an episode next month and the month after.
Yes, we had a summer break.
The summer break is not meant to be for 2 months, Inya.
Normally summer break is 2 months in proper countries.
All right, what we forgot to mention is the book that we're listening to on the way to the North Sea.
Seven Levels of Hell and Heaven, guys.
Right.
It was a real joyous ride driving to the North Sea. You're all, level one of hell. This is here.
Anyway,
second level of heaven.
I'm not gonna recommend that book today because I think I want to get the actual book itself and probably just go over it. But just so people can know, that's one of the books that one of the books that irate over okay, the summer.
Look at me, I read. You want a medal for reading.
Anyway, woo-hoo. Levels of Heaven and Hell by Frederick Dobson. Like, that was, it was intense. To say the least, or
somebody felt tested because I think what did he say at the beginning? Don't read this.
Listen
book
to the yeah.
If you are in a depressive state, and then this one's positive. You know, I really like his tone. He's trying to say, "What can face me?" Anyway, Ice, how are you? How are you feeling? It's like I'm fine. Adia, what are you? How are you? And it's like before we listen to the
no,
book.
But it was sort of intense the way he started out by making that big ass declaration yeah, about you kinda... know. But that to the side, it really it's a very interesting book. I think maybe we could, you know what? Maybe we could talk about that a bit
bring
next
Daddy
time
into it because he was the one who was listening. This like on the download. It's like, oh, there's this book I'm listening to. It's about seven hells and seven heavens. Or just like what? I was like, okay then.
Alright, so that's one book. But the one that I'm actually reading right now, and I'm taking a long time to finish, not because, you know, I'm being
reading
lazy.
Reading is hard.
No, it's because it's such a very tough book. It's called Burnt Sugar, and it's by Avni Dosny. I hope I'm sure I'm mangling her name. Avni Dosny. And she was, the book was shortlisted for the 2020 Booker Prize, Burnt Sugar, and it's set in India. This woman is a young woman. She's dealing with her mother. It's a mother-daughter relationship book. And that's why I hope you will
give
read
me once
it.
You're done, mom.
Anyway, and it's about the mother is, she's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and yeah, she, her daughter, memory loss, Alzheimer's, and her mother is, she, I think her mother was not the best mother she could have been to her. And you get glimpses of that throughout the book, obviously. And so her attitude to her mother's memory loss is very intense, to say the least. Because she's like, look, we didn't have many memories. And the ones that you do have, you're now currently forgetting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she has to make a decision of whether or not she's going to move her mother out of her home to live with her and her husband and what that looks like. And their relationship was always fraught with, like I said, she didn't feel like her mother took care of her when she was younger. So, you know, yeah. But it's a very, very interesting book. I think for me, just because, I mean, I have an aging mother as well, and she can be very stubborn. Mommy, if you're listening, you know, I'm not lying. And
call
clearly I am
grandma. I love you, grandma. I know this one is also difficult at times. I guess it's a thing.
Clearly I'm going to be a stubborn
You're going to be. There's more to come. We're not there yet.
So yeah, check it out. I think it's a really good read, Burnt Sugar. You won't be disappointed. I am almost done. I'm gonna finish it today. In the middle of listening to the German elections and the results. All right, what else
look
I wanted
you
to
being
say?
Being an aristocrat, reading and following politics. Wow, it sounds like
yeah, like you need to stop this. This is very distressing to me that you think these things, and you're giving people the impression that you're not really like, you know, somebody who is intelligent and thinking and reading, and it's troubling
is this
to
your
me.
Smart way of trying to turn this on me. Is that what's going on? Sure.
I want to also say that, so I'm not on Instagram, but I am on Instagram and I'm obsessed with this page called Nat Ministry. I want to talk about that next time.
Okay, the yes. Nat and Ministry. You being on Instagram, not being on Instagram every 5 minutes. And yeah, somebody think I said you on Instagram now?
No, this is a really great page where this, I don't remember her name, but just go on the page and you'll see where she talks about, you know, how important rest is and how we should do less. And she's just really doing such good work in terms of helping people to see how we have to deprogram ourselves from hustle culture, and how, you know, when we do that, we cripple capitalism, which is the goal, because capitalism is really, you
spoken
know, what
like
is
a real anarchist?
No, as a real socialist, leave me the hell alone, right?
I'm oh, not we're switching.
I told you, I feel like that's the solution, right? But anyway, so yeah, check out Nat Ministry. I think next episode I'll give you more info, like the
yes,
name
we can
of
hear.
It.
We can hear about you and your social media, how you would deal with social media. We can see the two different people, you know, you how you're on Instagram, not Instagram, but, you know, a passionate WhatsApp status sharer. I think we've mentioned this already.
It's been so nice. I don't know. I hope we can make it to our next episode. We will not retreat to our respective corners of the house. Okay.
Oh my God. It's always great, you know, conversating with you, Mom.
There is no
That's exactly what I said.
We never talked about this episode, the thing with the video, why I choose to live a boring life. It's a YouTube video by Senna Shimotoma, I think he's Japanese,
yeah.
But he talks about why he chooses to have a boring life, and I thought it was very interesting. We can listen to
it. You can wrap up nicely with the NAP ministry. That could be a good, you know, yeah, for the next episode. So something to look forward to yeah, you know, 2 to 3 people that are listening that are not us. Yes,
I'm not gonna respond to that anymore.
Okay, great. So thank you guys for once again listening. Be sure to check us out on all our social media platforms, either Facebook, Twitter, and now since a while Instagram, where if you'd like, you know, feel free to tag us in anything. Maybe, I don't know, something.
We're on Instagram.
Oh my God, yes, we are on Instagram. We have a podcast, it's called New Ones Podcast. I think I'll tag it in.
Oh yeah, look at that.
You use it to send me all the things you put in your WhatsApp story. This is like flame your ear. Like, do you think people think I'm really there? Anyway,
what was I gonna say about there's something I was gonna say and it slipped me, you know. God. Anyway, go on.
Well, once again, thank you guys for listening, and here.